Okay, this is Brother Jim. Welcome, Saints. I want to welcome everybody listening right now with me and those who may listen online later. Welcome to this teaching. May the following information, teaching, scripture, reading, and this time together, may it glorify our King Jesus. Today, I want to talk about a new topic. In the past, referencing the gospel to eternal life, we've talked about faith in Christ, repentance, being born again, and you can listen to those all at don'tperish.com at the gospel link. We have a detailed audio link you can go to and listen to all of them. Today we're going to talk about the important aspect of the gospel to eternal life, holiness and obedience, and I link those two together because they're so closely connected. To obey God is to be holy, and I think you'll see that as we go through this teaching. So as I go out and I do ministry and I do preaching, and then also I teach and I talk to a lot of people, I find it's really sad here in America and really all around the world, even when I hear from people in other countries, that most people that claim Christ and even teachers, they don't really focus much on holiness or obedience as part of the gospel. The gospel's been watered down, and many of Satan's workers are out there telling people that Jesus obeyed for you. There's nothing you have to do. And they live in sin and worldliness and false doctrine, expecting to be redeemed by this holy God. And that just is not true. That's a satanic, man-made doctrine. And you're going to see that as we go through this. So right up front, for all of my enemies and haters out there, and there's many, I need to make this disclaimer. We do not teach working your way to heaven. That's not what this teaching is about. We believe what the scripture says. We are finding our salvation by faith in Jesus Christ, his shed blood, his resurrection, his perfect work. And if you go listen to the gospel at don'tperish.com, you'll see that all in detail. And our obedience and our holiness by obeying him is the fruit we are of him. We make that clear. This is about the fruit of God working in us. If his spirit is in you, this is pretty clear right here. If his spirit is in you, the desire of your heart and your life will be to obey him, keeping his commands. That will lead you to holiness. So this is not about works-based salvation that we so often get condemned for teaching, and that is not what we teach at all. Not one verse on my website, not one scripture says that. So I hinge this teaching on holiness and obedience on a few key verses, many key verses, but I want to give you a few right here. Matthew 28:20, Jesus said, "Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world." So Jesus says, teach them to obey everything he's commanded. That's really passionate to me. That's why I teach at my website. So that's about obedience, right? Why would it be important not to obey when Jesus says, teaching them to obey everything he's commanded? John 15:10, Jesus said, "If you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." Now, did you notice that? Jesus is obeying the Father, and Jesus is saying, if you obey me, you abide in my love. Obedience, right? Leading to holiness. How about John 14:15? Pretty clear. "If you love me," Jesus said, "keep my commandments." Obedience to holiness. And what's going to happen if people don't do this? Well, there's a terrifying verse in Matthew 7:19. "Every tree that bringeth forth not good fruit is hewn down and cast in the fire." So obedience and holiness is part of the process of the gospel that transforms us. And I didn't say this at the beginning, but I always like to say this when people listen online. I go through these verses relatively quickly. Otherwise, this audio would be 2 hours long. Please get a pencil, piece of paper, write down the verses. If you can't keep up or find them in your Bible quickly, then go back and, of course, test me to the scriptures always. So write them down, go back and read them. when we talk about obedience, we can't get around Matthew 22, where Jesus says the great command is to love God, right? Well, we know from 1 John 5:3 that loving God is keeping his commands. So we see the tying together of the great command to love God, and then loving God is keeping his commands, obedience and holiness tied to loving God. So this is why we teach this. It's all over Scripture. Now, I know, because of what I do and out in the streets every day and the people I interact with and the people that contact me, this teaching on obedience and holiness is not popular in America or around the world in any religious circles that I know of, or very few, I should say. But it's all over God's Word, and it's absolutely part of the gospel path, the good news of Jesus Christ to eternal life. So I just wanted to cover that. Real quick, I want to throw this in here. Grace. Many people will tell you when you start talking about obedience and holiness, oh, God's grace has come. God's grace does not cover sin that you willfully choose to live in. No, it doesn't. Hebrews 10:26. I have articles on this. Look it up at the teaching blog. You must make yourself eligible for the grace of God, not by your works, but by a willingness to repent, be a holy vessel for God, and then obey and follow him in covenant with him. We're in a covenant. We're going to talk about that in a minute. So again, I have articles on that at the teaching blog at don'tperish.com. The grace of God does not cover if you willfully disobey him. It's very clear. So let's get to this teaching on holiness and obedience. The word holy is used 540 times, and the word obey or obedience, give or take, about 140 times or more. It's a very common thread all through God's Word and the call for his people to obey him in holiness. If you read the Scriptures in their fullness, you can't miss it. How do people miss it? Many people come to me and say, how do people miss the truth? They go and they read one verse. They pull it out. It's called proof texting. It's called scripture twisting. And they make it say what they want it to say, and they disregard other verses. A good example is Romans 10. Whoever calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. They pull that out of Romans, and they forget the call in Romans to live holy, to not live like the world, to not walk in your carnality, but walk in the Spirit. So they miss this call to holiness and obedience because they're not studying and living by all of the Scriptures, as Jesus said we should do in Matthew 4:4. So another key that I would need to cover right up front is the false idea that God loves us and forgives us unconditionally without any obedience or holiness. Now again, I have teachings on this. I have to cover this because it comes up so often. You will not find a single verse in God's Word that says that is true. All right? It's not there. They twist, they change, they lie about God's Word, but it's not there. The reason I teach on holiness and obedience as part of the gospel, the effects of the gospel, the result of the gospel, part of the gospel, is because God has given us a new covenant. We're walking in a covenant, a blood covenant with Christ. And it has conditions. All right, remember that. God is a covenantal God. He always had a covenant. And if you're not familiar, a covenant is an agreement of two parties. So a marriage, a husband and a wife have a covenant. The husband has to do his part. The wife must do her part. If either one of them fails on their part and they're disobedient, or there's a rank abuse or someone abandons you, they're not keeping their covenant. No one would say in a marriage, oh, a husband is keeping his covenant if he cheats on his wife. But yet people say that they can have faith in God and not obey him in holiness and obedience. It's just not true. So a covenant is a agreement of two parties. Each must keep their part. You can read about the new covenant, Matthew 26. Jesus gave us a new blood covenant, and obedience matters to God. Again, it's all over the Scriptures. 1 Samuel 15 tells us God desires obedience over sacrifice. And if you study the Old Testament and then you come into the New, what you'll learn is God never wanted to have to start all those animal sacrifices and do all those things. He always wanted Israel just to obey his commandments. And that's what he's calling us to do today, even in the New Testament. So getting back to this covenant idea, God has always dealt with man via covenants. And it is not unconditional. It's very conditional. Adam and Eve in the garden can eat of any tree, not that one. There's your condition. They failed. They got thrown out of the garden. The world fell into sin. How about Noah? Noah had a covenant with God. God said, build an ark and you'll be spared from the wrath that's coming. If Noah didn't build the ark, he would have been washed away. That's part of the agreement, the covenant with God. How about Abraham? God commanded, take your son out and you're going to do a sacrifice. Abraham didn't know what was going to happen. He was willing to do whatever. It wasn't unconditional. It was conditional that he obeyed. How about Israel in the Old Testament? God gives them some 613 laws and animal sacrifices for the covering of their sin. And it was all based on conditions that they obey him, they keep his commandments, they walk in his ways. So this idea of unconditional love of God, you won't find one scripture verse that teaches it. It's why the gospel and holiness and obedience as the fruit is so important. And that's why we cover it, right? The other big thing that comes up a lot is the idea that people have a relationship with Jesus and that he did all of it for you and all you have to do is believe. Even if you live in sin, you're not obedient, you're not holy, you're not keeping his ways, you're not even following him, and you still get to go to heaven. Again, that's not anywhere in Scripture. That's called easy believism, greasy grace, whatever you want to call it. Faith in him and works, meaning our obedience to holiness, is taught all over the New Testament Scriptures. It's clear. You can't miss it. James 2:24. When people talk about works, remind them of James. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, not by faith alone. Faith and works, works and faith, they go together, saints. Don't let anyone tell you that's not true. Now, today we have the same conditions, or I should say we have same conditions that God gives to man for the path to eternal life, just like he gave conditions in the Old Testament. Hebrews 5:9. One of my favorite verses for people that say you don't have to obey God. And he, being made perfect, became the author of eternal salvation unto all that obey him. That's pretty clear. Eternal salvation is for those who obey him. And we're going to talk about it's the fruit of it, right? Now, the word, I found this verse the other day, and I think I've read it before, but I kind of stumbled into it and was like, wow. The word even tells us who gets the Holy Spirit. Did you know that? Check this out. Acts 5, verse 32. And we are his witnesses of these things, and so is also the Holy Ghost, whom God hath given to them that obey him. When someone tells you they don't have to obey, take them to that verse and say, well, God gives the Holy Spirit to the people that obey him. Is God's word a liar? No, God's word is true. God's word is true. Now again, teachers and people don't talk of this and they don't teach on it because we are in the last days, the great falling away. People want freedom to live as they like of the world, of man-made religion, of their flesh, and they still want the grace to go to heaven. And this is why the gospel has been corrupted, perverted, evangelicalism, Calvinism, whatever you want to name. But Matthew 7 says that he's going to take those religious people and he's going to put them away because they're workers of iniquity. They're lawless. That's sin. What do you call disobedience? Sin. So again, obedience, very important. Jesus taught on it. The whole word teaches on it. Now, the God of the Old Testament and the New Testament, same God, all right? It's not a different God, same God, but he has changed how he deals with man. We're no longer sacrificing animals in a temple. We no longer have a physical priesthood doing certain things in a temple. We all now are priests. Christ is our sacrifice, and he still desires that we walk in holiness. I should say we walk in obedience that leads to holiness. So that's why I tie those together. Obedience leads you to be holy. Let's talk about obeying. We'll get through this using God's word, not my words. Obeying God is the evidence of being his child by his Spirit. Hear what I said? It's not works to get into heaven. It's the evidence. It's the fruit of being his child by his Spirit. No changed person by the Holy Spirit of God wants to live on in willful sin and in the flesh. That is not of the Father. We are to battle our flesh. We're to kill it. I just did a teaching, I think yesterday, where Paul says in Romans 8:13, we're to mortify. I like that word. Mortify our flesh. Go look it up. It means we're to kill, to crucify our flesh. Why do we do that? Because the flesh is at enmity against God. And if we kill our flesh, we're more apt to obey God walking in the Spirit. See how that ties together and makes perfect sense? Obedience working with the Spirit of God. Now, if we claim to be of God, the Spirit always, the Holy Spirit, always leads us to all truth, John 14, and he leads us to righteousness, Ephesians 5:9. He does not lead us to live in sin, to walk in rebellion, to live in the flesh, to make excuses for our shortcomings. He teaches us all things, brings us to righteousness, and gives us the power to live in those ways for the glory of God. Now, going back to the Old Testament for a second, Abraham, one of my favorite figures, the Bible says he was a great man of God. But ask yourself, why was he great to God? Why was he a great man of God to God? Genesis 26:5, because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandments, my statutes, and my laws. You see why Abraham was a great man of God? He kept the ways of God. Now, people will always tell you, well, he just had faith, and that faith kind of, well, he did have a great faith. But what did that faith lead him to do? To obey God. The fruit of his faith was obedience. Again, it's all over the Old Testament and the New Testament. God calls people to obey. I want to throw this note in here before we keep going on obedience. Jesus tells us that we need righteousness that surpasses the Pharisees. What is righteousness? Well, the word's right in there. It's what's right before God, okay? That's righteousness. Now, again, to be clear, for all of my haters and all of my dejectors, Jesus is our perfect righteousness. We need his perfect work. We cannot even approach the chance to go before the Father and eternal life without him. But why is Jesus righteous? Have you ever thought about that? Why was Jesus righteous before the Father? Well, the scriptures tell us he obeyed the Father perfectly. So I have a question for you. How can we live out the righteousness we must do? It may not be perfect. No, we need his perfect righteousness. But the Bible calls us to live a righteous life. How can we live that out? By sinning a lot and expecting God's grace just to cover us because Jesus died? Or can we strive in the Spirit to obey all of God's commandments for today in the New Testament? Yeah, Jesus obeyed, and we're to model and imitate him like Apostle Paul. And so we, you and I, are to obey and walk as he did, keeping the commandments of God. So hopefully that's an encouragement, edifying to you. That's why Jesus was righteous. He obeyed the Father perfectly. We can follow in righteousness with Jesus as our perfect righteousness. So getting back to the New Testament for obedience, it's very, very clear. Acts 5:29. And then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. I love that verse. Now, the word obey in the Greek is, I think it's pitharkio. It means to submit to authority, to heaven, to conform to. I like that part, conform to. To obey God is to conform to him. What are we conforming to? His word, right? That's what we conform to the commandments in the New Testament, the New Covenant. Now let's look at more verses for obedience, and we could spend a lot of time here, but I'm just going to go through a few. Romans 2:8-9. But unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first and also the Gentile. Pretty clear. You obey the truth. That's what the call is. Not to walk in sin and disobedience. Romans 6:16. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, His servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. Hey, there it is. Obedience, obeying God, leading to what's right. Righteousness. That's what God wants from us. 1 Peter 1:22. Seeing you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Purifying your souls by in obeying the truth. This is part of the process that works in us. We're being purified by the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and obeying the truth. I think we're going to stop this right here, and we're going to pick it up on part 2.